We are looking at beholding Christ in the Old Testament, and we should not be surprised. God created the world, was there at the beginning to create time, and so we shouldn't be surprised that Christ was there. However, he was not there in the body that he was going to have when after he was born in Bethlehem. And up to this time, we've been looking at the message about Christ in the Old Testament. We've been looking at the covenant promises that will finally be fulfilled with Christ and his coming of the kingdom. My wife and I are listening to Christian music on the way here, and she said, "Oh, that's the verse you don't like, right?" And I had missed listening to the words, but I said, well, a lot of those old songs are talking about the warfare and so on, and that we're fighting to build the kingdom, and that was the Reformed way of thinking about it, and they were wrong. The church is not the kingdom. The church is enrolled in the kingdom. We, the church, are enrolled in the kingdom. We will be the bride of Christ, and so we'll have a very important position in the kingdom. We will be ruling along with him, sitting upon his throne along with him, and so on. But we're not conquering the world for a kingdom of Christ. We are fighting for the souls of men. All of that to say, this time, we're going to actually look at times that Christ appeared to people in the Old Testament. So, identifying Christ as the angel of Jehovah, of Yahweh, angel of the Lord with the capital L-O-R-D. We're going to be looking at 10 visits that Jesus made to Old Testament people. And I wanted you to know that literally, we say the angel of the Lord, but it is the angel Yahweh, and so it sounds a little more specific that this angel, the word means messenger, this messenger was Christ, was God. Now, the background of this is that John chapter 1 tells us, no man has seen God at any time. Now, that means the triune God, the invisible God, the God the Father, for instance, no man has ever seen him. You say, well, what about the appearances of God? That was always Christ. If you think about it, God has two ways, the transcendent God outside of time, outside of space, outside of his creation, has two ways of reaching into the world. One is physically, the other is spiritually. And he accomplished the first with Christ. Christ was the one who did the creation, God reaching into the physical universe to create. He did that by Christ. He did that by salvation. He did that by coming to visit these people. So, the God touching humanity physically was with Christ, spiritually with the Holy Spirit. And so the two arms, you could imagine, of God. Now, and I'm not saying they're arms. You know, you understand the ways of reaching all of this. So, let me share with you then 10 times that we find the angel of Jehovah visiting with people. And the first one is that Jesus visited Hagar. How many remember Hagar? Yeah. And she ended up being the wife of Abraham. And this was his wife Sarah's suggestion. She wasn't able to bear a child. And so they had a promise of God that he would have a lot of family. So she said, well, evidently you are to take your slave girl, my slave girl. And so according to the law of the time, actually the law from back in Ur of the Chaldees, where they first learned this. God hadn't given his law yet that forbid this, but they took Hagar and had a child with her. And this was the beginning of the Arab people. But after that, Sarah noticed that Sarah, was being despised in the eyes of Hagar, who, I have a child and you don't, type of thing. Now, I don't know if that was all imaginary or not, but Hagar finally said, I've had enough. I'm taking my child and leaving. But she wasn't good at planning ahead, so she got into the desert and was failing. So God visited her and saved her life. So let's look at the passage, Genesis 16:7-13. And the angel of the Lord, and again, the capital O-R-D on the word Lord, is the King James way of notifying us that the Hebrew word is Yahweh or Jehovah. The angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. He's writing to the people who would know that. So, oh, that fountain. Okay. And he said, so the he is the angel of Jehovah, said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? Have you thought this through? She said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. Her name hadn't been changed to Sarai yet. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. You recognize that even when you are serving a difficult master in this world, God's plan is for you to bear the problem and approach it on trusting God to get you through, that God will be using this to build something virtuous in your life. He said, return to thy mistress, submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, that is, God shall hear, the King James margin tells us, because Jehovah hath heard thy affliction, and he will be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. Now, this then would be a problem if this being, this angel, was just a messenger of God rather than being God, you see. To call the angel God would be to mistake the angel, to call him something that he was not. And admire the angel, actually worship the angel. We find a couple of times in the book of the Revelation, John bows down to an angel to worship him because he looks so glorious, so radiant, and the angel is quick to say, don't do that. I'm a fellow servant like you. And John looks at himself. He looks at the angel. But so angels don't allow this. But here, thou God seest me, for she said, I have also here looked after him that seeth me. So the question at the end is, God was paying attention to me? What a strengthening thing that was. But this then was our Lord Jesus Christ, before he had a human body, appearing to her. Evidently, he looked like a regular man. She was able to talk to him. There was no description of a glowing substance in the air or something like this that she's scared to death. It just seemed to be a person who found her. And this was God. So as you read this situation, you read angel of Jehovah, and she calls him God, and he says, I will give you are with child. I will multiply your seed. He's speaking of himself, and this was Jesus Christ. The second visit, we see, is to Abraham. You remember the story where God had said to him, sacrifice your son to me. The son that he had waited for so long, he was 100 years old, he had the son, and now he takes him to sacrifice him. Genesis 22, we'll look at verses 11 to 12 and 15 to 18. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad. So he had drawn the knife. He was ready to kill the lad and then break him up and then burn him with fire. Neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. The angel of the Lord is saying, you fear God, and you have not kept your son from me. You were giving your son to me. Then in verses 15 to 18, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven a second time, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, saith Jehovah. So the angel is speaking and calls himself Jehovah. For because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, this word only could be your precious son, your darling son, your one and only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and the sand which is upon the seashore. The seashore, the lip of the sea is the word in the Hebrew. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And so the promise, the Abrahamic covenant that would be finally fulfilled, the seed would be Christ himself. It is Christ who is telling him this, promising him this, before he had actually been born on earth. He visited Abraham and shared that with him. Interesting interplay, but you know that this is Christ. We find then that son Jacob gets visited. Jesus visited Jacob, Genesis 31, 11 to 13. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-straked, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel. Bethel is the house of God. And when he had the dream of angels rising and descending on a ladder to heaven, he named the place Bethel. He says, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. Time for you to go home. So here is God speaking to him, identifying himself as the God of Bethel, and here, not the angel of Jehovah in this case, but the angel of God, yet I am the God of Bethel. Number four, we see that Jesus visited Moses. Hundreds of years later, Moses sees a bush that is burning, and yet the bush isn't consumed. And so it catches his attention as God intended. Exodus 3, 2 to 6. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. Here he did not appear as a human being. He appeared as a flame. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Here's a fire burning without burning up the bush. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. We have a strange fire here. And when Jehovah saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. So the angel of the Lord appeared, and then God spoke to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. What a surprise that would be. Never had a flame talk to me, you know. Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. He said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Now, I understand the concept. I just don't understand why the shoes had to be removed. What was not holy about the shoes? what was holy about those bare feet. I don't know. Just part of him, I guess. So, Nancy has an answer.
Is it something about a dead animal, like a dead carcass?
It could well be, yeah. Although, it was, you know, tanned and all that stuff, all cured, so, yes, sir.
When they went into a town and if somebody turned them aside, they would take their sandals and...
In the New Testament, too.
Take it off, mm-hmm. You know, shake the dust off their shoes. Mm-hmm. So that was another
thing about the shoes. Yeah. John said he wasn't worthy to loosen the sandals that Christ wore. So anyway, remove your shoes. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. So very clear, the angel of Jehovah is speaking. Jehovah himself speaks and says, I am the God. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God, even though it looked like a flame. So, and God intended him to look upon it, so it was not a problem. This is then the fourth time we find this visit, and this was the beginning of the whole Exodus. This is where God got Moses' attention. This is where he says, I want you to go back and bring my people out. And he says, well, there's a problem, the whole Pharaoh and everything, using them as slaves, and he draws out the description for him, how it's going to be. We find number five, Jesus visited Balaam. There's the story. You remember that Balaam was a prophet, evidently not a Jew, but I'm guessing that this was not God coming down, discussing things with Balaam, and saying, here's what I want you to say. I think it just was like the gift of prophecy in the New Testament. Just, boom, he had a message, and he knew word for word what he needed to say. So people would come to him and ask and pay him to do the work of prophesying. Let's say gave a donation to the prophet. And he liked that. And when a man came and he said, well, we got these Israelites going through our territory, and God seems to protect them. I want you to prophesy that we'll beat them, that they'll die. He says, I'll give it a go. And so he gets into prophetic mode, and God gives him a message. God will bless Israel and defeat all their enemies. Wait, I didn't pay you for that. And so all of that going on. Well, at that point, he should have caught the indication that God was not going to curse his own people. But he said, I'll go back and help you again. And God was angered. So Numbers 22, verse 22, 31, 35. And God's anger was kindled because he went, even though God had showed him he wasn't to curse Israel. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now, here he does not appear as a human being. He does not appear. He's invisible. At this point, he's invisible. Verse 31, then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head, fell flat. The King James says, or bowed himself on his face. This is where he wasn't bowing his head. He was jumped off the animal and laid flat in front. So, this is... God showing his intention that he was going to lop off Balaam's head or stab him in the heart or something. I don't know what that would have looked like. It might have been heart attack. You know, I don't know what it would look like to men if the invisible angel of Jehovah stabs him with the sword. And then verse 35, and the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, all right, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that shall thou speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. We find later, and this by referring back to this, that Balaam finally said, well, there's no way I can curse them because God's going to bless them. But God will curse them if they sin. So find your pretty girls, go in among them, lure them to marriage, and then say, but of course you have to worship my God when we're married. And now God will have to take his own vengeance on them. And so late in the New Testament, we find the work of Balaam, that which compromises the believer so that God will have to chastise the believer, is the way of Balaam is the way of the false prophet. All right, that's the first half, and we're moving along real well here. Number six, Jesus visited disobedient Israel. In the book of Judges, chapter 2, verses 1, then 4 and 5, and an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt. Here is the angel of Jehovah claiming to be the one who provided the exodus out of Egypt, and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. So God is speaking, but it is in the person of the angel of Jehovah. Verse 4, it came to pass when the angel of Jehovah spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept, and they called the name of that place Bochim, that is, weepers, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. So this is actually a time when appearing as a human, appearing perhaps in some glory that made people not have to ask, who is this? And when he says, I am God and I'm speaking to you, they understood this. So he calls them back by reminding them of his blessings. Let the goodness of God lead us to repentance. Does God deserve the way you're treating him now? You see, is the question. Number seven, Jesus visited Gideon. Always loved the story of this angel visiting with Gideon. And Gideon, you remember, is hiding and trying to thresh some food for his family, but he's hiding. He's sneaking around. He doesn't want to let the enemy know. The Midianites, he doesn't want them to know that he's there. So Judges 6, 11 and 12, 14 and 16. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah and pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So, just leaning up against a tree, just a walker here, resting from my journey. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. I always love that. He was seeing him as he would be. Gideon is seeing himself as what he is. So he says, who are you? What's going on here? Did my cousin put you up to this, you know? Verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the land of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And then in verse 16, the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. It's an entire army, but you and the people that you gather together will smite them as if it was just one man. So this great turning place and the call of Gideon to be a judge, they didn't have kings, but they had judges to judge the offensive countries that were overtaking Israel. So that was Gideon. Number 8, Jesus visited the parents of Samson. I asked this as a question. We were singing a song, His Name is Wonderful. I said, who remembers the, who was said my name was wonderful? Here it is. Jesus visited the parents of Samson, Judges 13, 3, 9 to 10, 17 to 18, 20, 22, 23. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, this is the future mother of Samson, and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now we find, reading on through the story, that he looked just like a man, perhaps a mature man. She figured he was a prophet. He was a wandering prophet. Then in verse 9, And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, this is the father, and the angel of God came again. She ran home and said, A prophet of God said we're going to have a baby. He says, Some lunatic walking through the wilderness? And she says, No, I'm pretty sure he came from God. He says, Well, look, I'll talk to him. You women, you know, all you think about is having babies and stuff. And so he says, I'll talk to him. And I love the ending of this where he says the stupid thing and she argues reason to him. But anyway, so he appears again and she says, Would you mind just staying right there? I'm going to go get my husband. So angel of the Lord came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. So he grabs the bottom of his robe and they take off running. Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? Now the King James margin says this word secret is the word wonderful, meaning miraculous. For it came to pass, as it goes on, when they still think it's a man, so they said, Well, let's fix you something to eat. So they build a little fire there, and they're getting the food ready. And this strange thing, it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended into the flame, in the flame of the altar. He steps over to the altar and just kind of goes up with the flame. And they're saying, What? We didn't see that coming. And so now they realize this wasn't a man at all. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground, an act of worship as well as being scared to death. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die because we have seen God. And his wife said, Let's think about this. If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all the things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. You remember, we're supposed to have a baby? Hard to do if we're dead. So he says, Oh, yeah, I knew that. And so I love that ending. He's going to come check this guy out, you know. Foolishness. All right, number 9. Jesus visited Elijah. Elijah stands as the ultimate prophet when Christ is facing death. Moses, the lawgiver, and Elijah, the figurehead of the prophets, both meet with him from heaven. 2 Kings 1, 2-4, 13-15. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria. Samaria was the capital of Israel before the New Testament times, and was sick. He fell down, broke something, tore something up. He was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, Go inquire of Beelzebub, this is not the devil, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, he's asking a pagan god if he's going to live. This is the first thing that comes to him when he falls through a lattice. I don't know. A lattice was, they didn't have glass, panes of glass. So I'm thinking he was leaning up against it and it gave loose and he fell out the window. I don't know what happened. But anyway, the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, I have a message for you. Now, he didn't ask Elijah. He asked the prophet of a pagan god. Arise, here's the command to Elijah. Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say unto them, is it not because there is not a god in Israel that you go to acquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? No god of Israel, huh? That's why you have to go find pagan gods. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, now says Jehovah, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. They went, okay, we'll tell the king. And then it says, and Elijah departed. He got out of town. He knew what the king would do. I mean, this king was pretty far gone here. He's sick, dying, and asked for a pagan god's opinion. So Elijah just goes away. Now, the story goes on. Can't find him anywhere. In fact, God's taking care of him out in the wilderness. So King Ahaziah sent a captain with 50 soldiers. Do you think this was like a scouting party? No, this was, get that Elijah, bring him up here. We're going to torture him until he says, I'm going to get well. So evidently Elijah's up on a hill or a big rock or something. And so they come up and they're all militant and they're all clacking their swords on their shields or something, you know. And Elijah waves at God and fire comes down, burns them up. So nobody goes back to tell the king anything. But evidently this wasn't done in absolute absence of everybody. Somebody saw this. Somebody came over and dustpan and swept up the ashes. So somebody comes and says, what happened to the men? He says, well, they visited Elijah and God killed them all with fire. Elijah killed them all, what they would have said. So he says, all right, send another. So when none returned, the king sent a second captain with another 50 soldiers. They were also burned. And now you be the third captain. And Ahaziah says, go bring him in with 50 soldiers. The first two times, fire came from heaven, burned them up. So the third group came meekly and mildly and approached and said, could we speak to you, Elijah? Here's verse 13. He sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50, and the third captain of the 50 went up and came and fell, bowed on his knees before Elijah. No macho fist waving, and besought him and said, oh, man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50, thy servants, be precious in thy sight. Good beginning, captain. Good way. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burned up the two captains of the former 50s and with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. Now, Elijah had been given the message at the beginning by the angel of the Lord. And now the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid of him. Evidently, there would have been reason to be afraid of the first two. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. Now they were protecting Elijah. Well, this whole thing was done by Jesus Christ, angel of Jehovah, visiting him. And then let's look a very terrible time, but one of great power. Number 10, Jesus visited the army of Assyria. And we often bring this up when we talk about the power of an angel, but this was actually the angel of Jehovah. The three passages here that put together, we get the whole story. 2 Kings 19, 35-36. It came to pass that night, the Assyrian army had come, parked in front of Israel, of Jerusalem, and said, give up to us or we'll kill you. So the angel of the Lord went out that night and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. I've worked it out for you. That's 185,000. That's not a shabby army. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. What? We're all dead? Well, I think somebody woke up, and they were not soldiers, but they looked over, and they're just laying dead in the tent or whatever they were doing. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed, went and returned, and dwelt at Nineveh. I'm just going to go home. Can't kill anybody. Lost my army. 2 Chronicles 32:21. And the Lord sent an angel. Now notice this. Here's Jehovah sending a messenger. The messenger that he sends is his son Christ, the angel of Jehovah, which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and the captains of the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. The Asian folk are shame-oriented people. And you do everything to honor people or to shame them, you see. And if you shame them, then you've defeated them. And when he was come unto the house of his God, they that came forth of his own bowels slew him there with the sword. So his own sons. And then in Isaiah 37:36, the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000, 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So I hope you have a better luck tomorrow. You wake up, not a dead corpse. Heard about the guy that wake up, and open up the newspaper and look at the obituaries. And if his name wasn't listed, he went back to sleep. Said it's going to be a good day. Saw another one that says, people say you only live once. He says, that's not right. We live every day. And so here we have the power of God illustrated. And Christ's being, as whenever angels appear as men on this earth, I don't know where the body comes from, but it seems to be a for real body. There's a physical interaction when the angels come to, the regular angels come to meet Lot in Sodom. And there's a pushing of the door and pulling of the door closed and all this kind of stuff. Physical action. So they seem to have a regular body. I don't know. They have a rent-a-body lot up in heaven someplace, or how that works. But they slip it on, and then they can act as regular men. But other times, this is Christ himself. So 10 visits by Christ. So you read these stories, you go through the Bible, as I hope you do. Let this message, the angel of Jehovah, bring to you, this is Christ, personally interested in the works of men. All right, pretty good. 10 in our extended Sunday school lesson. We didn't have many prayer requests. God knew, I guess. I guess. Well, how good of me to think God knew. Yes, God knew. And so important concept. Questions? Does this bring up anything? All right, good. Well, Christ in the Old Testament. Let's stand together. We'll be dismissed with prayer. Our Father, we thank you for giving us the specifics that Christ, acting as a messenger, as an angel, gave messages good, bad, and otherwise, to people of earth, people who were needing judgment, and yet you spared them, like Balaam, people that were needing judgment because they were threatening the very death of your own children with the soldiers of Assyria. We thank you for your protection, even to their destruction. But we thank you for the times that you stepped in and encouraged Gideon, when you stepped in and encouraged the faith of these early men and women, Hagar, to encourage her to learn to grow by obedience to her authority. So we pray thy blessing upon us. We thank you that now you have spoken to us by your Son, and that we can read it in the Scripture as his message, our angel of Jehovah speaking to us as we read through the Gospels and understand the words of Christ, even to the churches in the book of the Revelation. So guide and direct us and help us to obey thee with our full heart. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.